Welcome to the Discotech podcast. Today we have Lewis. Hi, Lewis.
Hi.
And Heather Ray. Hello.
Hola. Hello.
Hello. And Rachel's going to be joining us a little bit later. She had another commitment and then she'll be coming on. So at some point she'll pop in and join us. Today we are going to talk about two episodes of Lower Decks Season 2, Episode 2 and 3. Let's jump right into Episode 2. Kayshawn, his eyes open. This one started with a cold open shower scene. I felt like have we ever seen showers before in Star Trek?
Enterprise. Has anyone seen Enterprise?
So yes. That was what my mind immediately went to.
Yeah.
Was maybe not showers, but like decontamination scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that was the closest thing I could think of. And then like, otherwise we get mention of sonic showers. I'm trying to think if there's like some obscure scene of someone in a shower somewhere.
I mean, the bathtub with like the Janeway Chakotay shippers is like famous.
Yeah,
obviously wasn't on the ship.
I will say that like the decontaminant or the decon scenes are close enough to shower. Like that is like when I think of shower, if both of our minds go right there, like
yeah.
Close enough. Honorable shower mention. But yeah, otherwise I was definitely caught a little off guard, like oh my goodness, okay. I don't know that. I mean, maybe we do communal showering in the future. How do you guys feel about it?
I was comfortable with it because they were cartoons. What about you, Lewis?
I'm not sure if they are referencing a sci-fi movie called Starship Troopers.
Yes. It's been a long time, but I have seen that one.
Yeah, in that movie, they have everyone is in the same place in the shower. So I was not surprised because of that.
I think it would be great if we were also comfortable with our bodies in the future, that we didn't mind. But at the same time, I can't, like, that's only for me and my body now. Like, I can't speak for everyone else. And there are many people who care very much about their privacy. So that would be difficult if that were a requirement. I don't know. That's a lot to think about and one I'm going to be thinking about for a while. Just the technical details of how that would work.
And would that put you off if you wanted to join Starfleet?
Yeah, yeah. There's positives and there's negatives to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they are all showering together because they don't have individual rooms. Because in other Star Trek series, we saw that they have rooms with showers.
Yeah. And there's like their bunks are all kind of out in the hallway open type of thing. I don't know if I want to be Lower Decks. Yeah. I kind of might want the private room. Yeah.
They're kind of like in summer camp level.
100%. Gosh. And let me not think back to the bathrooms at summer camp. No.
Right. So after the cold open, and that was kind of our introduction to the new character in the show.
Jet. I think it's Jet.
Jet. Okay. So that was our introduction to Jet. And we got to see a lot more of him. He was part of the A-plot. So the Cerritos was called in to help the Collectors Guild sort through a collection. And it just felt like, and this is broadening the outlook a little bit, it felt like Collectors Week last week, because Marvel's What If animated series is also on, and it was about Star-Lord and what if the Black Panther was Star-Lord, and they had this whole adventure with the Collector. And so that was Wednesday, and then Thursday we get this episode about Lower Decks and a Collector, and it was just like, I'm all into Collectors this week and like these strange sci-fi things in glass boxes, and like, it's awesome. So that was a fun little thing that had, you know, not much to do with Star Trek. And I'm sure I wasn't the only one to notice that. So the B plot is Boimler is on the Titan with Riker and realizing that maybe he doesn't want to be there, which I'm almost surprised he made it all the way through episode 2 on the Titan, because when when he went, I kind of thought this is going to last for half of an episode in season two, and then he'll be back. So he outlasted my expectation.
I was so hopeful that he would be on the ship for longer and we would get more of Riker. But I know that we haven't seen the last of Riker. I have faith in that. So
I was almost surprised we got as much Riker as we did this season, because I felt like we got more than we did last time, and very pleasantly surprised, because he should be in every Star Trek, and I'm still waiting for him to show up in Discovery as a hologram or something.
Somehow.
Now that they're in the future, it's possible.
He's really becoming like a pivotal person for Trek now, to still have people from, you know, the 1990s working on Star Trek now that way. I love it. I don't know that it's necessarily anything unique to Star Trek, but as a Star Trek fan, it really means a lot to see actors return and come back. And so I totally buy into, I'm definitely that type of fan to cater to an extent. And when it's Riker, like I can't say no to Riker. So
absolutely. In the collection, so there were so many Easter eggs.
Too many.
too many to catch. Even the second time, there were things that I was like, that looks familiar, but I don't have time to research. And Heather Ray, you had referenced an article, and we put it up after our first podcast episode by Ryan Britt, and we will be tweeting out both of those links to his articles from denofgeek.com, where he lists so many of these Easter eggs in such a methodical way, if you're looking to get more details and discussion on all those Easter eggs. If you thought you recognized something, he's probably found it. So we'll be linking those for anybody who wants to do a deep dive. They're phenomenal.
Yeah.
I love the little, it was like a little throwaway line. Did you get caught up? And it was something like debating the human rights of a robot or an android or something.
I say that Lower Decks is like a love letter to Star Trek fans, because it is written by fans for fans. I won't accept anything outside of that. Sorry. And I'm just blown away by all of the creative ways they throw that in there. Like there was a little line like back in the beginning when they were on the bridge with like Dr. Miglimu or something, and they're talking about like Data and like...
Yes.
Why won't you write it? Yes. And it was just like, I loved it.
So was that supposed to be Riker's trombone in one of the cases? Yes.
I think so. I would say yes.
Yeah.
I don't think it could not be. There were so many. I one of my friends, Aaron, he's Geek Filter on Twitter. And then he's a podcaster for Trek Geeks. He also did like all the Easter eggs, because he is co-author of a book on the animated series. It's an official Star Trek book for animated series. And so he has like all that knowledge and went through and like found all like every single one.
Oh, wow.
And there are, I don't know. I'm not going to pick a number. I'll just say 47 and move along. But it's just like, it's impossible to get them all in like one glance. And like, as I'm watching, my eyes are scrolling every box and like, what's that? Like when I watch the episode, like I just want to watch it through the first time. And then when I rewatch it is when I'll pause and kind of focus on stuff.
And they went in this room with a bunch of skeletons, and you look up on the ceiling and there was a skeleton wearing like an old original Star Trek uniform.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a giant. What was that supposed to be? Does anybody know?
Lewis, do you know, or do you want me to say?
I think it was about an animated series episode, The Infinite Vulcan. I haven't watched it, but I think that was Spock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
And yeah. So like, I totally recommend that everybody go watch the animated series. I'm convinced that many drugs were involved in making it. It is bizarre and fun, and it is Star Trek, and I love it dearly. So yeah, I won't break down that whole episode, because you can Google it or go watch it.
All right.
But yeah, it's the giant Spock clone from the Infinite Vulcan. At least we assume, like, who else would it be? And it was funny because my husband kind of guessed that too. He's like, is that a reference to something? And I was like, yeah, it totally is. And I need to go find out exactly like how many, I want to know how many Star Trek references have been in Lower Decks to date.
Yeah. Oh. You know, it'd be, like, it would also be really awesome. And I have no idea if they're doing this or not, but I wonder if they threw something in there from like a show yet to be made that they know, like something is written. Like, I don't know if they're doing this or not, but just like, that would be so cool. Mm-hmm. Kind of like in Star Wars, where in Rogue One, they were going through the files in the Empire and she said something like, oh, light speed tracking. Like that wasn't a thing. But then in a future movie, they did light speed tracking. It was like in The Last Jedi or something. And that's so cool. The eagle-eyed fans were like, she said that, and you know, we should have seen it coming. And it just seemed like a throwaway, like light speed tracking, wrong file, you know. So if they put something in one of those boxes just to maybe fill out the scene and then bring it back later, that would be really cool.
That would be, I'm in support of that. And I will tweet at Mike McMahon, tell him that. No, I tend to leave him alone.
Yeah. I try to leave the creators alone if possible, but sometimes I just really have to tag them with something.
I think it's great to tag them with positive things. I think it's fine to get, you know, I won't tell people what to do, but people like it when they get positive feedback more than they get negative feedback. They hear the negative feedback. They're like, I don't know. I just, you know, I like compliments when I do a good job at my, So yeah, I'm all about that positive stuff. So I say tag them, just don't go crazy.
Right. Within reasonable limits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as our roundtable question for this episode, I'll start with Lewis. What was your favorite Easter egg in the collection that we saw?
I think the bones of the giant Spock was my favorite because when I watched that, I knew it was Spock. I was a little shocked because I didn't know they are going to use the bones like that.
Mm.
It really that the same infinite Spock, like he would just, I don't know. He's just so big and you're just like, oh my gosh, is that who I think it is? Oh my gosh. It was just, I think because it was so huge and something also just obscure that, you know, a lot of fans haven't seen the animated series. Mm. It's like the last, you know, the bottom of the list. Yeah. And I think whether you have seen it or haven't, like it's still something really notable that like you kind of know what it is.
Or it catches your eye. Like I hadn't seen it. And yet that was the one I asked about.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Aside from from Spock, I think this is going to sound really, well, I don't understand what this means. Did you guys notice the shark? Like there was a random shark and I was like, what on earth is this shark? And Ryan has in here a reference to the real life artist Damien Hirst probably. So I'm going to have to go Google Damien Hirst and figure out what that's about. But yeah, so if anybody remembers an episode from TNG called The Game, it was the one where Wesley got that headset. And and so the headset was like addictive, but it was so that headset was on a little head model in one of the cases. Oh. Yeah. And I was like, I love it. That. Yeah. I had a friend who made one of those for convention once. And so it's just always fun to get to see those, you know, again, obscure things pulled out and put on the wall. And there were just so much to find in that whole episode.
Yes, there was. So Kayshawn was turned into the cutest puppet ever. And at the end, they have him in like the med bay on a bed. And it says on an actual piece of paper, I am not a doll. Do not play with me. But I was surprised because it's on an actual piece of paper. And there's not a lot of paper in Star Trek, is there?
No, there's not.
So that was kind of neat.
I like it, that puppet. What I loved especially was how many people were making the puppet. Like the episode is released and here are like three or four different people that have made tiny puppets and just blown me away. And so, yay, I love fans. Fans are cool. And there was some awesome stuff out there. So I would go like look up the hashtags and like Google for puppet because there's got to be pictures.
Oh yeah.
At least there are on Twitter. I know you can find it that way, but it's so cool. So cool.
I love that Boimler was calling the Enterprise the D. That was really cute. And just to wrap up with Boimler, he realizes he doesn't want to serve on the Titan. His crewmates remember why they joined Starfleet through that conversation with him where he's like, you know, I think it would be cool to have a string quartet and like, you know, the music and all that. And they were like, oh yeah, I joined Starfleet to, you know, and they threw out these seemingly random things, but they also felt like Easter eggs as well.
It's so hard to know. I think one was like botany or plants or something.
Right.
Or it's a random, totally random stuff. I really love that message that, you know, whether you're into Star Trek for like the ships and the phasers and the fights and the action, or you're really drawn to like the, you know, the quartets and
and what life might be like.
Yeah. Insurrecting them. Then I think it's great to remind us that, you know, at the heart of it, we all love something special about Star Trek, and that's what brings us all together. And I definitely see that kind of as, you know, speaking to fans, but then speaking to humanity in general. So A plus on that.
Yeah. And they still did it in a comedic way for, you know, the lower deck that fit right in. And this doesn't fit in this part, but... my favorite line in the show, and I made a little graphic of it for Twitter. We don't need to be heroes here today. We just need to survive. And I just thought that is like, that should be the motto for the whole intro and everything about Lower Decks is we don't need to be heroes. We just need to survive.
I feel like, yeah, that's even good for 2020 and 2021.
Absolutely.
That is certainly the goal is to survive. So I liked that. And I did appreciate that, you know, they got to the point where it wasn't just about the people trying to be leaders. It's about the whole team that's working together and everybody, you know, we're more likely to survive together when we all have a say in what we're doing and we're working as a team. So I thought that was nice.
Yeah. And it's not just the personality. It wasn't just about, okay, the strong personalities are going to lead us here, which kind of tends to happen. They were like, let's look around and see who else has good ideas. Poor Boimler became the victim of a transporter accident and got cloned. And his clone got to stay on the Titan. But in that little scene where they were deciding, you know, who was going to go where, I feel like we ended up with our Boimler.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely the one who was a little more selfless and the other one seemed to fit in better with Riker.
Yeah.
Let's play Freebird.
Yeah, changing his name to Freebird? William Boimler or like whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the last little scene, their cafeteria or mess hall, whatever. They call it on this ship. The corn pips was really cute. And I saw a lot of cute memes going around about that. And Rutherford somehow calling it that Boimler was going to be cloned in a transporter and then Dendy having to pay him.
He's a smart guy. I don't know how he knew, but he has a good sense for people. And yeah, the corn pips, I see that happening at a convention somewhere. Like someone is going to have corn pips.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's a real thing now.
That would be a great cosplay. Like take any uniform, you know, you're an ensign and then you have like your little corn pieces to the side. Happens all the time.
Fully expect it.
All right. So that is episode 2. We'll jump in to episode 3. We'll always have Tom Paris a lot of people were saying this was their favorite. Let's start with one of our roundtable questions. Which episode has been your favorite so far this season, Lewis?
I think this one, this third episode, is my favorite so far.
Yeah?
Yes.
What put it over the top?
I think they show some topics that it's related to for many Star Trek series. I was thinking that when I watched the episode, like, for example, how the characters, they don't really know each other, even if they spend like seasons living together on the same ship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there are fans that maybe complain that they don't know about the characters as much as they want. So
mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that when I watched the episode.
That's true. That was one of our complaints, I guess, if you could call it a complaint, mm-hmm. about Discovery, was that there were members of the bridge crew that we haven't had a episode highlighting them yet, and we would like to know more about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for episode one of this season, I swore that we talked a little bit about having more stories with the different characters. So exactly what we got with Mariner and Tandy going on that trip together. So I was pleasantly surprised. I think that, yeah, this is probably my favorite of the three as well. And I think it was just because there was, again, a lot of really fun stuff, like the conversations around Voyager and calling it Voy.
Yes.
But just like Boimler is such a fan and a fanboy, and it's, I love the way that they make fun of it, but not in like a self-deprecating or like super negative way. And I really appreciated, we've all kind of known that Begum Mariner was not heterosexual, and that is certainly confirmed in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As well as the fun little mention of bad non-binary babes, which as a non-binary person, I really appreciate that Star Trek is putting us on screen and talking about us, even, you know, just even if there isn't a non-binary character in Lower Decks, like we do have one in Discovery, and it's just really great that we're there. And so I appreciate, yes, even if it's one small reference, like that means a lot to me. And so I liked that. And I really like the relationship between Mariner and Tandy. Mm-hmm. I thought for especially like a woman to woman relationship, it was realistic, and I liked that they communicated, and mm-hmm. that's one of my favorite things about Star Trek, is that it really sets an example on how we should be communicating with one another, mm-hmm. which is something that I still fail at even when I'm 40 years old. So it's always just a good reminder.
Yeah, me too. They had a really good chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Between the two of them. I love that they called it Voy, like we do on Twitter, but I've never actually heard anyone say it like phonetically like that.
Right.
So I felt like, and this is Lower Decks, is like, I feel like they're laughing with us. They're not laughing at us.
Right. Right.
So like we get to laugh along that, yes, that is what we call it, but I've only ever seen it typed that way.
So, yeah, so good. And I mean, yeah. I've never heard anyone say Voy. I mean, like no. DS9, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No one is like ENT.
Yeah. But we would say, I've heard people say TNG.
Yeah. Yeah.
But TNG, yeah, Voy is not one of the ones phonetically pronounced. But it's so much faster. We should definitely start saying that.
Oh. This whole episode, I loved it.
It felt like there were fans talking about Star Trek more than characters into a Star Trek war. Mm-hmm.
Did you like that, or did that bother you about this?
No, I like that. Think it's one of the trademarks of Lower Decks.
My favorite part in this episode was where Boimler starts humming the Voyager theme song. And that was one of the times that I had to pause it and tell my husband, I was like, that is the Voyager theme song.
He's such a nerd, and I love it because I know so many nerds. Like, this is who we are. And so
I didn't even know that commemorative plates were a thing with Star Trek until they started promoting this season. And then all of a sudden, all these pictures started showing up on Twitter of people's plates.
Right. I think I did a thread about that. And it is something that I did not know about either until I started going to conventions. And so over the years going to conventions, I found out about these collectible plates. And I think you used to be able to get them like in the back of a catalog or, you know, through some porcelain company. It was, or in the Star Trek magazine. I'm not totally sure, but basically there's something that at least people in my age group tend to just make fun of in a loving way. Mm-hmm. I have one. It was given to me as a housewarming gift by my friend Sue and her partner. It is it's Encounter at Farpoint, TNG episode, and has Q, has the whole crew, has the jellyfish, like, or, you know, the entities.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there are so many out there and obviously have not been popular in a very long time until now. And I think it's Trek Unlimited that is making that plate and had it at STLV and sold a bunch of it already. And it is very reasonably priced, I have to say, at like $35. Because the plates you have to buy at the convention are usually like 60 or more. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe, I guess it depends on the plate. But yeah. Someone should write a book about the history. No, Star Trek would not pay. They would not approve that. The history of collectible plates of Star Trek.
But there is a market for that. And that's what's so good about this fandom.
Yep. Yep. I love it.
Yeah. That line, is he still a salamander? Like, if there's one episode of Voyager we talk about the most, it's probably that one.
Fan favorite again, like, and that is why I love these writers and showrunners. Like, they're just so good at finding all the little things and knowing what fans love. I mean, it's heralded as like one of the best, worst best episodes, right? Like, you pick.
I mean, well, the other one that we might, well, Lewis's favorite character.
I know what you're going to say.
Should we say the name, or is that just opening a whole can of worms that we shouldn't get into?
I will not be surprised if they talk about Tuvix in the following episode.
I wonder how they would address it. It's so controversial.
If anyone can do it, it's them.
That's true. And I wonder if they did address it, if they could somehow like heal the discussion around Tuvix.
That would be great.
I don't think that relationship will ever be healed. I think it is a lifetime fandom debate. And I think that is what makes it so absolutely admirable and incredible. Those are my fine words about Tuvix.
I think it's a never-ending discussion. Like, it's not going to end.
Yeah. The right or wrong is relative to who you are and your beliefs and everything. Like, it's out there. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is an easy answer. And I think that it's just never going to go away because of how debatable it is and how much fans love to debate about it.
Yeah. You can't take it away from us.
Yeah. They wouldn't give it up if they could.
So we get to see a whole different side to Tendi in this episode when she and Mariner go on their adventure to fix this heirloom that they broke. We touched on this earlier. Mariner learns her first name, and it's kind of like how Kirk didn't know Uhura's first name for a long time in Star Trek 2009.
She did, I saw that. Yeah.
A little Easter egg that they might have been referencing. Also, it seems that Quarks is a franchise opportunity now. I wonder how many bars of Latinum he charges for the name.
I want to go visit them. I just love that Quarks has been franchised. It's amazing. Yeah. So Tendi was the mistress of the winter constellations of the Orion people, whatever.
That's quite that a title. Means.
It is. I kind of loved it, but she left it behind. That is no longer who she is. But we do learn a little bit about her in this episode, which is really nice. But yeah, I think that regarding the name situation, like that really does kind of suck. But I don't know. I've never been in a situation where you just refer to people by last names. But I can imagine that happening. Like, I don't know. Well, probably not. If you're this close of friends, that's probably kind of a bad.
It was a little bit like in Parks and Rec where nobody knew like Jerry's first name.
Or yes.
Like
yes.
When they go, we're all calling him the wrong name. Yes. His name wasn't even Jerry. Yeah.
If they did that with Tony, though, that would have been hilarious. Sad, but it was, no, we can't rip off of Parks and Rec. Like they can all be amazing shows on their own, 100%.
I think the writers maybe did a checklist like, okay, background of characters, names, and everything that the fans always ask about characters.
Yep. I just want to sit down and know like the process. And maybe it'll be on like one of the DVDs. I don't know. I stream everything. I don't buy the DVDs. So I don't see the extra perk. Yeah. Like I don't see the perk stuff, but I just want to know like how these episodes are created. I saw through like some Twitter conversation where my friend, Dr. Erin McDonald, she's a science consultant. And they were talking about like she gets the scripts, and when she gets the scripts, she puts the star dates in them. And so like everybody has their different jobs with the scripts. And I just want to know like the whole process of how it happens and how they pull all of these references, like where they pull them from, how they do that research, and then how they decide where to put them. And it just, I want to be there.
Yeah. So towards the end, there was this really cute part where they were like, how are we going to explain that we broke this thing? And Tendi grows a little bit and she's like, I'm just going to admit that I messed up and I'm going to get in trouble and it'll be the first time and that'll be interesting. And then Mariner's like, nah, no, I'll fix this for you. But like, I almost kind of did want to see Tendi get in trouble a little bit.
Yeah. But
It was funny. And of course, I loved the whole bee got into the shuttle and put the bee in the brig.
Bee.
And when she was in the brig, we talked about that little castle she drew before. There was three more check marks on it or something than the first time.
Yeah.
She scratched more into the wall since she's been there last time. So Boimler has this whole adventure in the Jeffries tubes, and we see him. And this part almost reminded me of Galaxy Quest when they're going through the ship and like there's like, why would we even have this part of the ship? Again, he was like, no, like who would be like something with a static electricity like discharging it right now? And then of course like Tom Paris is doing something with it.
Yeah.
That puts his life in peril.
That was, and he left the plate in there. And like, thankfully the plate was not incinerated, just very, very hot. And then he kissed the plate, which
it's because it's a quality plate.
I mean, totally. I love it. I want the plate. And I know so many other people that want that plate, but like I one plate is good. I don't need another plate. Like I'm fine.
What was your favorite Easter egg in this episode?
I thought it was hilarious when Boimler came out of the Jeffries tube or whatever it was and like looked like a Kazon and for Voyager. And I think I don't know if Tom Paris like said Kazon or not, but like it totally looked like, okay. Yeah. Totally looked like a Kazon. Like I got that right away. It was great. I loved that. And then I did love at the end where they were all getting together and Mariner was like, did you get your ball signed by Chakotay?
Yes.
She's like, did you get your bolsa at Chakotay? Yeah. No, it was great. It was great. But the, again, like, it's so impossible for me to pick like one or two out of here because they're just, they keep coming and keep coming and they are evergreen. Like, I can rewatch Lower Decks for the rest of my life and continue laughing and being happy. So thank you to the Lower Decks people.
Yes. What about Lewis? Do you have yours?
I don't know if this is an Easter egg, but there is a part when Boimblen is talking to the computer and he was asking for help. And the computer says, you are not authorized. And Boimler says, why do I need authorization if I'm in danger? I think that happens a lot on other Star Trek series. I remember an episode of Deep Space Nine. I'm not going to say which one because, Marcy, you didn't watch it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm only on season three.
Certain characters are in danger, and the solution is to ask something to the computer, and the computer say no.
Yeah.
And it's the same situation like this one.
Yeah. I mean, I would that's totally believable that that could be a reference to that specific scene. Like, these writers, like, they are again, if this is stuff that you care about, and I'm saying to listeners, go Google, like, again, Den of Geek. These are Ryan Britt's articles, I think Trekcore's articles, and then my friend Aaron Geek Filter's stuff. Infinite Trek is his podcast. And these, everyone has gone through and like found everything you need to know about these episodes. So I definitely recommend checking it out just because it will blow your mind. I'm totally going to forget this. So while I'm thinking of it, can I just say, yay, I never expected Shax to be back.
Mm. Yeah. So, and that was fun too, because there were so many bridge crew people that did magically come back. And so I do love that they were just like, he's back. And like, you kind of don't even think about it until Rutherford starts like being really upset.
And it was Fred Tascatori, I think that's his name, that plays Shax. Like, he's listed in all the episode credits. And so I remember somebody pointing it out from episode one and saying like, he's listed, but he's not in the season that we're aware of. So I should have like thought about it then and been like, oh, hey, maybe he's going to come. Like, you know, you never know. Somebody might come back for like, you know, a not a time travel, but like, oh, this is from a different part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for
really talented voice actor. So I thought maybe they just hired him to do a different voice.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Because like Discovery, they reuse a lot of the cast members as different aliens. So you never really know.
Yeah.
What was your favorite Easter egg in this, Rachel?
I I thought it was really funny when they were starting to say like call Voyager Voy, and people were like, what are you doing? kind of referencing like past things we'd heard about Orion's like throughout, like the pheromone stuff and
It's nice to see the Orion's like get some attention and some world building. Like Lower Decks does it and then Discovery does it. And it's nice because I don't know about everybody else, but as much as like I love Orion's, but there's a lot about Orion's that I didn't love. So it's great to see them not just be bodies and dancers and subjugated to just pretty women.
Definitely.
I won't even talk about Enterprise and Bound. Oh, a vomit. Okay. Moving on. Anyway, I love getting the development for now. I just want to be like Devana. It's so weird to say Devana over Tendi.
I'll be honest. When she said her first name, I was like, I had completely forgot that was her name.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was the first time we were hearing it. And then I was reading these articles. I was like, oh, I forgot it too. I would have been with Mariner. Like, that's news to me.
I did love her going, Beckett.
Yes. Oh, now you're just showing up. So what is one thing that surprised you in these first three episodes? I was surprised we got as much Riker as we did and as many Easter eggs as we did, because I feel like this season is even more of a love letter to fans, mm-hmm. like more love lettery than last season even somehow. And I just feel like they just packed it even more full in this short episode time that they have and short run time.
I think that they are very smart to stuff these episodes with so many Easter eggs. It's also my favorite thing of this season so far, because you do kind of, you're kind of forced to go back and rewatch, and mm-hmm. or unless you pause it and just go over everything. But I like to rewatch and then take more from it each time. And that's just a really smart thing to do if you want people to watch a show and make more Star Trek. So I just absolutely love it. And yeah, on top of that, I think I'm really liking the character development that we're getting with the four characters. And especially after these three episodes, I feel like we've gotten a good amount of each character's like own development, regardless of how they're all interacting. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we're still, you know, getting a good feel for everybody and learning more about everybody. And it's really fun.
Lewis?
I think now they are using the Easter egg like an integral part of the story. Maybe in season one, I felt like they had Easter eggs, but more like a background reference. And now I have the feeling that in the next episodes, they are going to keep using it like part of the story that they are going to tell.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Rachel? What was one thing that surprised you in this season that you weren't expecting?
I was also surprised by the amount of Easter eggs, like the collector ship. I was just like, and I was also pleasantly surprised by the amount of like original series Easter eggs, like the giant Spock or Spock 2 or whatever he's called. Statue, because I feel like sometimes in it felt last season that they didn't mention like the original series that much. Mm-hmm. And I was also really surprised by I want to make sure I'm pronouncing his name right. Shrax, is that his name?
Shrax,
like, yeah. Shrax. I was really surprised, yeah. And I was like, oh, he's back.
I love him, so like, so happy.
Yeah, same. And I also like, one of my favorite alien species is Bajoran. So anytime I'm like, yes, give me more, please.
Any final thoughts? Anything we missed that we want to cover before we wrap it up?
I love this show.
Yeah.
It's so great.
This is like the Star Trek that, well, I say it's the Star Trek I needed for the pandemic. But like, yeah. I need any Star Trek I can get. Yeah. And there's so much I got from Discovery that I feel I needed. Mm-hmm. But I get, like, Lower Decks is just so much fun. Like, there's nothing to watch Lower Decks except for like Shrek's dying the last time. Or now I don't know how to say his name. Now I'm confused. Like, aside from that stuff, it just makes me happy and it's fun. And gosh, if I haven't felt like I've been missing something that is just fun and enjoyable mm-hmm. to watch,
yeah.
And colorful and just it's great. So I'm just really appreciative that we have it. And I'm really excited to see the rest of the season.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. I think Discovery, they're both so different. Like, they're therapeutic in different ways. Like what you're saying, like what we need during the pandemic, like Discovery lets you feel all your emotions and it's okay, yeah. if you cry and you need to get stuff out. And then,
yeah.
Lower Decks is like, but you can also laugh and sometimes just forget that you have problems for 30 minutes, yeah. and laugh, yeah. about something that you really love for a little bit. And that's okay too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say that I really enjoy how all the characters are growing and interacting this season. Like, I'm glad that even though it's a comedy, they're still taking like the characters seriously. And it feels like, yeah. if anything, they're using the comedy to like look within the characters.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me for this podcast to talk about these two episodes. And I look forward to talking next week. Hopefully we'll get back on our regular schedule. We did miss a week because life happens and we're busy, but we'll try to get back to doing one episode per Lower Decks episode after this again. So yep. It was good talking to all of you.
Talking to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.